Send the light. God has blessed us with a beautiful Lord's Day and appreciate the presence of each one this evening, especially the visitors, and we're thankful that you're here and it's good that we can be together this evening. We've studied a series of lessons on the life of the Apostle Paul, and I think we should go all the way to his death. Of course, there's not as much revealed at the latter part of his life. Most of what we have learned is from Luke, the writer of the book of Acts. We studied how he had appealed to Caesar, and he was a prisoner on a ship to Rome. They were shipwrecked. They finally reached Rome. He was in prison there for about two and a half years, and then he was released from prison. And next time we preach on this series, probably be the last sermon. It will be his final or second Roman captivity. Tonight we'd like to study the life of Paul between his first and second Roman captivity. Yes, he was released from prison for a period of time, from 63 to 67 AD. Paul's life between the first and second Roman captivity, that during his first Roman imprisonment, Paul expected to be released. Of course, King Agrippa and Pilate could not find any fault in the Apostle Paul. Agrippa said that he would have released him had he had not appealed to Caesar. But here he was in Rome as a prisoner. He had his own house, so to speak, and they had a guard over him. But he expected to be released during this first imprisonment. This was expressed in his epistle or letter to the Philippians. In Philippians 2 and verse 24, Paul wrote to the Philippians, "But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." And so when he wrote this letter from Rome, he expected to go to Philippi shortly. Also expressed in his plans to visit Philemon. We notice in the book of Philemon, in verse 1, verse 22, says, "But meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you." And so here he asked Philemon to prepare a guest room for him, that he expected to get out of prison and to visit with Philemon. That he was released and traveled some more is evidenced by references made in such epistles as 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And so these letters that Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus mention the fact that he had been released. And by the testimony of those who came along later, Jerome, Clement of Rome, and others who lived in the latter part of the first century mentioned the Apostle Paul, that he had been released from Roman prison. The exact nature and extent of his travels between his two Roman imprisonments is uncertain. Frank J. Goodwin, in his book, A Harmony of the Life of St. Paul, he offers the following information concerning Paul's travels after he was released from his Roman imprisonment. Conjectural travels, that is, he thought this was what happened, it's not sure. Paul certainly desired to go to Philippi. We read there in Philippians 1, 26 and 27, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. And so he intended to go to Philippi after he had been released. And of course, it is thought that he was successful in going to Philippi after his release. He desired to visit Philemon at Colossae in Philemon 1:22. Meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. And so this was thought to have happened. The Apostle Paul had hoped and he had planned. He had prayed that he would be released, that he would be able to visit at Philippi and visit Philemon at Colossae. If he went to Colossae, he would have probably visited nearby Laodicea. In Colossians 4, verse 16, Paul wrote to the Colossians, he says, "Now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, that you likewise read the epistle from the Laodiceans." And so it seems here that he wanted each congregation to switch, swap letters, and no doubt if he went to one congregation, he would visit the other one also. And Paul had expressed a desire to travel to Spain, and it's thought that he was successful in traveling to Spain. In Romans 15 and verse 24, Paul says, "Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you in my journey, to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while." Also in verse 28, he says, "Therefore, when I have performed this, have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain." And so Paul desired to go to Spain, and it's thought that he was successful in going there as he had hoped. Clement, a historian, implies that he may have done so. Some authentic travels that we know that Paul did make for sure: Paul and Timothy went to Ephesus after he had released from his first prison captivity. He wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and 3, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine." And so he went to Macedonia and he asked Timothy to remain at Ephesus. And then in 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15 says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And so he had sent Timothy to Ephesus, and he was planning on coming to Ephesus where Timothy was. "I hope to come to you shortly." And he wanted them to know how to behave themselves in the house of God, the church. And leaving Timothy at Ephesus, Paul went to Macedonia. In 1 Timothy 1 and 3, "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some they teach no other doctrine." Then Paul and Titus made a trip to Crete. In Titus 1 and verse 5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. Appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." And so here the Apostle Paul said he'd left Titus in Crete and that he was to set in order those things that were lacking, that is to ordain elders in the church there at Crete. Paul went to Miletus where he left Trophimus sick. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20, "Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus and I left in Miletus sick." And so here he leaves Trophimus sick at Miletus. And we wonder why Paul would leave a Christian sick. I think this proves that miracles were only performed for a reason, to produce faith in God and faith in Christ. They didn't just go around performing miracles to be doing it. And here Paul leaves a man, a brother in Christ, a sick in Miletus. Paul returned to Ephesus, where he was served by Onesiphorus. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 16 through 18, says, "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously, and found me, The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. And so here Paul returned to Ephesus, and he was served by Onesimus. A trip was made to Troas, where Paul left a cloak and books for Carpus. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 13, he wrote to Timothy, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." And so the Apostle Paul had a cloak that he wore. He had books, parchments that he read and studied. He didn't have a computer and things like we have today, but he did have books to use. He also went to Corinth with Erastus. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus and I left in Miletus sick. He spent a winter at Nicopolis. In Titus 3 and verse 12, it says, "When I sent Artemas to you of Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." And so this was after he had been released from prison. He spent the winter at Nicopolis. It's thought that at Nicopolis that Paul was arrested and was sent to Rome for his second imprisonment. We notice Paul's acquaintances during this time. When he was in prison and then when he'd been released from prison, we notice some of his acquaintances or friends. Timothy, a young man, he was a very faithful Christian. He traveled with the Apostle Paul on different occasions. And he was a good example for a young man preaching the gospel. And he was close to Paul. He went with Paul to Ephesus and remained there. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 3, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some, they teach no other doctrine." And so Paul considered Timothy a strong, a true son in the faith. And he was a good man, and he encourages him to remain at Ephesus at this time. Then, of course, Titus was also another man who was a faithful Christian. And he was left in Crete and then asked to come to Paul in Nicopolis. In Titus 1, verses 4 and 5, he wrote to Titus, "A true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete. You should set in order the things that are lacking. Appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." And so Titus, he was also a friend and companion of the Apostle Paul. Erastus stayed in Corinth. He was a companion of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy 4 and 20, Erastus stayed in Corinth. Trophimus, I left in Miletus sick. Then Trophimus, of course, was also a friend and companion of the Apostle Paul, and he was sick. Carpus, who was with Paul at Troas, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 13, he said, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." And so here's another companion, a friend that Paul had in his travels. Onesimus, who saw Paul in Rome and ministered him at Ephesus, was also a companion of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 16 through 18, he says, "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesimus, for he often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day." And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. And so this man, Onesiphorus, he sought Paul out even when he was in chains. He was a prisoner at Rome. He says, he refreshed me often. He was not ashamed of his chains. Then Artemas and Tychicus, who were sent to Titus in Crete, also were companions of the Apostle Paul. In Titus 3 and verse 12, when I sent Artemas to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me in Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. And then there is Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos, who were asked to come to Nicopolis. There was a brother in Christ down in Kentucky named Zenas Eubank. It's the only man I've known of by that name. But here was a friend and companion of the Apostle Paul, Zenas the lawyer and Apollos. And Titus 3 and verse 13 says, send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey. Make haste that they may lack nothing. We notice Paul had some opponents. That is, those were enemies to the Apostle Paul. He was persecuted greatly. Hymenaeus and Alexander were opponents of the Apostle Paul, both of whom lost their faith and began to blaspheme. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so here are two Christians that had made shipwreck of their faith. He said, I delivered them to Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. Hymenaeus declared that the resurrection had already happened in 2 Timothy 2. Alexander did Paul much harm in 2 Timothy 4. We notice Philetus, who joined with Hymenaeus in his false teaching. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 17 and 18, says, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have stayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. And so these were false teachers. He said what they were teaching was like a cancer. And they were teaching that the resurrection had already passed. It was already over. As was the case during his earlier journeys, and even while in prison in Rome, Paul took advantage of opportunities to write letters. And so in this period, between his first and second imprisonment, he wrote a couple of letters. To 1 Timothy, the first epistle to Timothy, he wrote, written from Macedonia, in 63 or 64 A.D. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 3, we notice what Paul wrote to Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some they teach no other doctrine. The purpose of this letter was to instruct Timothy concerning church matters at Ephesus, provide counsel for Timothy's own spiritual progress. We notice the theme of his letter, sound doctrine for a church and the preachers. We notice a brief outline of his letter, first letter to Timothy. He charged concerning sound doctrine. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 and 19, notice what Paul wrote. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, having faith, a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. And so here Paul was encouraging Timothy to wage a good warfare. He is a soldier in the army of God. To fight a good fight. Some had rejected the faith. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, gave general instructions concerning the church. He asked him to pray for those who were in authority in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Also, he wrote in the letter that women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel and not usurp authority over the man in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. Also, he gives the qualifications for elders and deacons in the 3rd chapter of 1 Timothy. Yes, they wanted every congregation to have elders and deacons who had men qualified. He gives advice to Timothy. Notice what he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And so he's encouraging Timothy to be a good example. Yes, let no man despise your youth. In 1 Timothy 4 and 16, he says, take heed yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And so he is encouraging Timothy to take heed to himself, his own life that he's living, and to the doctrine that he was preaching. They might be saved. Paul gives instruction concerning members of the church. He instructs them to honor widows that are widows indeed. Yes, those who were widows indeed were to be supported and to be helped. Godliness with contentment, he said, is great gain. He warns them about the love of money, which is the root of all evil, the desire to be rich. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, he says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. And so he warns him against this false teachings, profane and idle babblings. Paul wrote the epistle to the Titus also while he was between his first and second prison. Written perhaps from Corinth or Ephesus, many think it was Ephesus in 63 to 66 AD. Notice what Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 1 verses 1 through 4. Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me, according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, a true son, in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so here Paul is encouraging Titus to hold up for the truth. It says, hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. Notice the purpose of his letter to Titus, to instruct Titus concerning church matters at Crete. The theme of his letter was to set in order the things that are lacking. We notice in his letter he wrote instructions concerning church organization. In Titus, the first chapter, he writes the qualifications of an elder, as he did in the letter to Timothy. In Titus 1 and 5 says, for this reason, I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking, appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Paul gives the qualifications of an elder here in the letter to Titus. Paul gives instruction concerning Christian conduct in his second chapter to Titus. In Titus 1, verses 1 through 8, Paul wrote to Titus, he says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, the older women, likewise, they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husband, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. And so here he's encouraging the older men, the older women, the younger men, on living the Christian life, to be faithful to God. Paul wrote that Christians are to obey those who are in authority. In Titus 3, verses 1 and 2, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And so these are very strong teachings Paul wrote to Titus. Be subject to those who are in authority. Obey and be ready to every good work. In conclusion, the time of Paul's life between the first and second Roman captivity from 63 to 67 AD is similar to the period that we described as Paul's early years of service in 36 to 45 AD. The scriptures reveal little about each of them. What indication we have is that Paul was active during both periods. Even less is revealed about the final period of Paul's life, his second Roman captivity and his death. Not very much is revealed in the scriptures concerning that. Paul looked forward to going home to heaven when this life is over. Yes, he was ready. He said it was better to die and be with Christ. He said there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give it to him at that day, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. And so the Apostle Paul is a very good example for us. Paul called himself the chief of sinners because he had persecuted Christians. But Paul probably did more work for the cause of Christ than any other Christian. He worked and labored for many years. He gave his life for the cause of Christ. And so we need to remember men like the Apostle Paul, those who have set a good example for us. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is the accepted time. You must hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing God's word. You must believe and have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must repent of your sins. This is what keeps many people from obeying the gospel. They don't want to give up their sins. They'd rather continue in sin. But you must repent. You must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you must be baptized. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. And when you're baptized, your sins are washed away in the blood of Christ, and the Lord will add you to his church, the church of his choice, and not to some denomination. And so if you need to obey the gospel, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?